welcome to Heard It From Her, a podcast from Lady Liberty, which is RFERL's project promoting women in media. Today, I'm speaking with Alexandra Dinko, a correspondent in Minsk for RFERL's Belarus service, about how she and her colleagues covered historic protests that took place across Belarus in February and March, the likes of which she says haven't been seen since the 90s. It all started 2 years ago when Belarus, a former Soviet republic that's often referred to as the last dictatorship in Europe under authoritarian President Alexander Lukashenko, implemented what's come to be known as a social parasite tax. It's a tax on the unemployed who have worked fewer than 183 days in a calendar year of about $200 US. Even though the tax has been unpopular since it was implemented, Alexandra says that because of the sustained ratcheting up of pressure on the Belarusian economy, which has a variety of causes that she'll explain, everything came to a boiling point on February 17th when thousands of average Belarusians took to the streets to protest. The demonstrations spread to cities across the country during March. Even though President Lukashenko eventually promised to put the tax collection on hold until it could be reformed, it was too late, Alexandra says, because the demonstrations had become about much more than just the tax. Police cracked down on demonstrators March 25th, arresting hundreds of peaceful protesters and journalists, including RFERL correspondent Halina Abakunchik. Alexandra reported from the protests, and I asked her what she saw, why it all came to a head now, and what she expects for the future. She's been a journalist for 10 years, but she has a master's degree in gender studies, and gender issues are one of her reporting focuses. So we also talked about the women's face of unemployment in Belarusian society. Why would the government in Belarus take such an unpopular step now?
I think that the simple and obvious answer is that the authorities tried to improve the economy using this decree. And they need money to the budget. They want to resolve the problem with crazy salaries. And you know that Belarusian economy is in deep crisis and it is not something new. And the GDP of Belarus in 2016 has decreased almost 15% in comparison with 2015. Mm-hmm. And the predicted rate of inflation has made 12%. But I have another question as for the decree. You know that Alexander Lukashenko has constructed a vertical of power consisted of loyal officials and businessmen. And I think that they just have lost the understanding of what is going on with the people. This mm-hmm. vertical of power live in a system of control, bureaucracy, and planned economy. And the communication between the officials and the citizen is so complicated and bureaucratic. And people have complained about it during these rallies. That nobody just want to listen to them. Mm-hmm. Until the decree, people have been survived counting only for them, on themselves. They left their homes looking for job in Russia. They did low wage illegal job. They did several jobs at the same time. And the official at this time have received the stable salaries in $500 or $1,000 and even more. Mm. So the officials just didn't understand that the sum of this parasite tax could be excessive for the Belarusian who has survived through several economic crises. Mm. So the decree number 3, it's simply one of hundreds of repressive decrees that Lukashenko issued. But you never know when the last drop falls. And this decree has become the last drop for the people.
And another way that officials seem a bit out of touch is that the reported unemployment that we can find for Belarus is less than 1%. But critics say this doesn't really reflect reality, but that rather most people don't register as unemployed because there's almost no assistance, no advantage to registering. Is that correct? And what is life like for unemployed people in Belarus?
You know that during one of the protest action in Bobruisk, this is a small town in Belarus, there was a man about 40 years old. He's a highly skilled engineer with a wide experience, professional experience. He has family with two children, and he was fired, and he has been looking for any job, not for the place of engineer, for the last 2 years. The Belarusian industry is based on big enterprises of Soviet origin, very unmodern and very ineffective, and they are in deep crisis, and they cannot propose place to work. Mm-hmm. And private business survive survives under difficult conditions. Small private business has been almost destroyed by Lukashenko. So if you live in a small town, you just cannot find a job. This young and skilled man, this engineer, is a typical Belarusian unemployed. And I think that the authorities themselves didn't realize a real situation with unemployment. It had been strongly influenced with economy and political crisis in Russia, because 2 years ago, the World Bank estimated figure of Belarusians who work in Russia, mostly illegally, in more than 1 million person, and we have our population like 9.5 million person. The economic crisis caused by political events, the war in Ukraine, and European and American sanctions against Russia has led to the fact that most of the people, most of the Belarusians, have returned to Belarus, and they have here they still have no job. Now imagine these people who for years have not seen their families, wives, children. They had been working in very hard condition, in humiliating even condition. They have no right to have pensions in Belarus because they worked illegally in Russia. They endowed everything to provide the families which are not provided by the Belarusian state. And now the state says that these people are parasites. Mm-hmm. So these people are just the picture of unemployment in Belarus. And of course there are women face of this unemployment, women with children, women who just don't, without children, young women who are supposed to get children, to get pregnant, and so the chiefs do not want them to hire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you mentioned this engineer from a smaller town in Belarus. These demonstrations were a bit unique in that they took place in towns across Belarus, not just in Minsk. How significant mm-hmm. is that?
Well, it is really very important because we don't remember mass action in the region since the beginning of the 90s. For example, in Orsha, this is a small town in Belarus too, there was a rally. The previous large strike of workers took place 26 years ago. Imagine this period of time. People who participate are very, very different. The young and older workers and intellectuals, men and women, businessmen, unemployed and those who have a job. But yet the main reason people take to the street is economy desperation. But people say the decree is not a matter anymore. The main requirement is the change of the power, the change of the president. And this requirement has been pronounced during the first rally in Minsk on February 17th. People say, Lukashenko, you haven't coped, you have to leave. We don't trust the authorities. And the political opposition, you asked me before, has participated in these rallies too, but in most cases there were also organizers. But they just announced the time and the place of the meeting. And it was obvious for me that the people and not the opposition have their own program. And the people would follow any leader, other oppositional or grassroots leader, which interest coincides with their interests. So the oppositional participation of in these rallies has been rather technical. They understand that people should announce the place and time of meeting. They could prepare posters and slogans. They could bring a megaphone to speak loud. But people participated without posters, and the meeting took place. In Vitebsk, for example, 1 month ago, there were 2,000 of people who came. No megaphone, almost no posters, no oppositional leaders, but the action has been kept in for 2 hours. And before an action on March 26, the authorities arrested 300 people, all oppositional leaders and all the activists. But the rally took place and people came and they were very faithful and active.
And police cracked down quite hard on these demonstrations, arresting pensioners, journalists, including your colleague, Halina, I hope I don't mispronounce her name, Abakunchik.
Abakunchik, yes.
Can you reported on these protests. Can you describe what you witnessed from police while covering them, and did you interact with police at all?
During the march in Belarus, 1,000 of people have been arrested. All the arrests have been connected with protest action, and now 24 persons are in prison on charge of suspicion of preparation for mass riots. Detention generally are on a false charge or on a charge of participation in an unauthorized protest action. Is it correct?
Yes,
unauthorized, yes. Which is not allowed by the officials. On March 25th, on Minsk Street, there were so much militia cars, armored cars, water cannons, hundreds of police officers and soldiers of internal troops in special equipment. And all this, there was an atmosphere of hysteria and fear. And detention were very brutal, and they took, the policemen took hundreds of people. I would say that these detention were indicative because they detained anyone, young people, older people, men and women, those who refused to pass to this militia wagon or who just asked a question, they were beaten with police sticks. And I never saw that any protester resisted physically.
Well, and especially the images of the pensioners really had an effect of these elderly people being dragged away to police wagons.
Yes, the police detained very old people, obviously old people. And they detained also people who obviously did not participate in the rally. And they detained a lot of journalists, though recently journalists had not been detained for the year normally. But I'm sure that it was indicative once more. The purpose is to intimidate old people in regions at first to prevent them from the protest. The authorities showed we will punish everyone disregarding the age and profession. Just do not even try to protest. And I cover the rallies with live streaming very often. The nice moment is that the official propaganda Belarusian TV uses our live reporting in its propaganda as the examples. It played a role that I have not been detained, but it's just casual. There is no special attitude to journalists from the Belarusian authorities. But I could just mention that in 2016, I hope, Freedom House put Belarus on 192nd place from 199 countries in the rating of freedom of speech. It showed the best the relation between the Belarusian authorities and the journalists. The journalists always has been detained and beaten, and the last events in Belarus are not an exception.
I see. And on April 6th, most recently, the European Parliament demanded the release of these peaceful protesters and journalists. Do you think this crackdown has stopped the momentum of the demonstrations, or do you think there's a small chance they could continue?
Well, I cannot predict, and I wouldn't dare, and I think no one could. On the 9th of April, last Sunday, there was an authorized meeting in Bobruisk, and there were 70 people. Months ago in this town, there was unauthorized meeting, and there were 700 of people. So you can imagine the scale of the protest, that it is decreased, obviously. Well, the human rights activist who is engaged in this stuff with parasites in Homel, Leonid Sudalenko, is sure that people will not dare to protest anymore. I don't know. I see that people are preparing to take part in the rallies, which one of the oppositional leaders, Mikolai Statkevich, has announced. And he appealed to the people to come to the officials' holidays on May the 1st and on May the 9th. And the next traditional action of rally of opposition is on April 26th. This is the day of Chernobyl tragedy. In recent years, about 1,000 people participated. And so let's see how the authorities will act and how people will act.
Okay. And also, Russia saw its largest protests in many years recently. Do you see any connection between the two?
Yes, and I was surprised how much the same we have in common with the Russian protest. We could say that the base of the protest is similar, economic requirement, but in Russia there is an obvious leader, Alexei Navalny, and also he has a certain political program people could follow. We don't have this political program and one leader. But the authorities react the same, and I have been even struck with how similar the Russian and Belarusian militia acted on March 25th in Minsk and the next day, March 26th in Moscow. There was even a feeling that orders to repress and to detain had been given from one source. Though, of course, it is not so, but similarity is surprising.
Sure. And I know that one of your reporting focuses is gender issues and gender equality in Belarus. So what are the topics that you typically report on? What are the issues that face women and gender minorities in Belarus?
I think that in Belarus we have just common gender problems. We have a gap in salaries between men and women, almost 25-30%, as all over the world, I think. I could already say that women became the first victims of unemployment, and it is more difficult for them to find a job and to hold senior position. But the patriarchal system is still alive, and the girl is brought up as a future mother and a wife. And the same, at the same time, the parents try to give to the girl the excellent education, and the, they see it as a best contribution to her future career as a woman. And my concern is that the civil activity itself is discredited in Belarus. And feministic civil activity is considered just indecent, even among women. There is an image that the feminist is a person who is engaged in minor problems and they just hamper people to live their happy lives in love with happy families, heterosexual, of course, families and so on. And recently, one feministic organization has accused the producer of lingerie of sexist advertising. This is Belarusian producer. And the reaction from the society was extremely aggressive to these acquisitions. People defended their rights to observe a nude female body so actively that if they did the same to protect their other right, I don't know, right to freedom of meetings and freedom of speech and so on, it would be definitely better to live in Belarus.
That's funny. And you mentioned earlier that women especially suffer from unemployment. So I would assume that they're also suffering from this parasite tax or the threat of having to pay this social parasite tax. Did you see noticeably more participation by women in these demonstrations?
No, rather not. As I said previously, that there are very different people who participate. But there is very fine thing that there are a lot of pensioners who took participation in these rallies, and this is because it is connected only with almost with every family in Belarus. And now the situation is that the pensioner who get his very low pension pension is about 100 euros. He's the only he's the only earner in the family.
Yeah, because most women aren't working.
That's why. Yes, yes. That's why the pension take on the streets and try to protest. And so they are not, they have nothing to be threatened with. They have no job. They have nothing to lose. So they are more maybe brave than other people.
You heard it from her. I've been speaking with Alexandra Dinko, RFERL Belarus correspondent in Minsk. For more on women in media from across our broadcast region, you can find us on Facebook at /LadyLibertyRFERL and on our Pressroom website at pressroom.rferl.org. I'm Emily Thompson, and I'll be back next time with another woman in media with a story to tell.